listener production.
Please leave your message after the tone.
Why am I jealous of my ex?
I am so stressed all the time.
How do I get into a routine?
Is TikTok making me anxious?
I think I'm being manipulated.
Someone told me you could live with half a brain.
This is Do You Fucking Mind? Mindset Hacks for a Badass Life, hosted by me, Alexis Fernandez.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the episode of today. So in today's episode, I thought I should help you guys out with a little bit of a conversation starter. Now, I am the queen of conversation starters, if you guys don't know, not Spawn, slash it definitely is Spawn because it's my own product, but I do have a conversation card game if you haven't already purchased it. A lot of you guys have purchased it. Love that so much. Like globally, there's people in Sweden who have purchased it, which is epic. But it's the DYFM card game and it's a conversation starter. However, I thought I would give you guys some questions to ask people who you don't know. So the main time you could ask these questions is on a first date or on the first couple of dates. But this doesn't need to be romantic. It could be for other reasons. And these questions are not in the card game. So it's not a ploy to get you to purchase the card game, although purchase the card game. But it is just something that you can ask somebody to get to know them. And it's also the reason why I decided to do this is because I think a lot of the time people, their go-to question is, what do you do for work? And I totally understand why that is the main question. The reason you ask someone what they do for work is obviously because work takes up a huge part of our life. It's like 40 plus hours a week for a lot of people. So, you know, understanding what someone does for work gives you a big insight into their life. But then a lot of people do something for work that they fucking hate and it's not their passion. It's not their thing. And it's probably not the first thing they want to present forward with. They probably want to talk about other things. So I once decided that, like ages ago, that when I would meet new people, I would try my very best not to ask them what they did for work unless it was relevant to the conversation. So if someone's like, oh my God, work was so hard today, I'm going to be like, what do you do for work? Obviously. But I try not to make that my leading question. So then I thought, okay, what are other really good leading questions that can give us great insight into somebody when we just are getting to know them? This is great for a first date. It's good for a friend of a friend and you're trying to get to know them better. It's good for colleagues. It's good for, it works for a lot of scenarios. But obviously the main thing that we're going to talk about here is for dating, the dating scene. Now, the beauty of asking these questions is that it allows you to accelerate certain things a lot faster. Now, I'm going to be using dating as an example moving forward in this episode. But like I said, you can use this with anyone. A lot of the time when we're in a situationship, we hope that it progresses. We hope that things get further. We really want things to change. But deep down, whether we consciously are aware of it, whether we're semi-aware, whether we're suppressing it or ignoring it, deep down, a lot of us are afraid of the truth. So we'll put off doing certain things in a relationship. So for example, when I've been in situationships before, when it's been very clear to me that I'm more into it than the other person is, and I would want to progress into a relationship and the other person, well, clearly wasn't showing indications that they wanted to progress or not at the rate that I wanted them to, I would put off asking the difficult questions because deep down I knew what the answer would be. Okay. So for example, I wouldn't ask, are you seeing anyone? Because I'm like, but what if he says that he is seeing someone and then what does that mean? So I purposely would just hold back a lot on the questions that I would ask and on the things that I would do. So these questions are really good because it allows for vulnerability. It allows for someone to share more about their lives. It allows for people to tell anecdotes about their life and it allows for you to share the same answer in response because most people who want to have a good banter, a good conversation, want it to flow, are going to answer the question, go in depth about it, and then they're going to probably ask you something very similar or the same thing, okay? Why this is also a good test is if you get to a point with these questions when you're talking to somebody where you're like, oh, I feel uncomfortable asking that question. Ask yourself, why is it that you feel uncomfortable asking this question? Because none of these questions are awkward or uncomfortable. They're very easy questions to ask. But if you think, am I asking for something too deep? Am I asking for a question that requires such a long story that this person won't be bothered to answer? If you're starting to think, oh, I don't want to ask them that because it requires a lot of effort on their part, then that alone is an indicator of one of two things. A, it's an indicator that you deep down know that this person does not feel the same way about you as you do to them. Or B, it indicates that maybe you've got some ingrained insecurities around your worth when it comes to meeting people, and you instantly think they're not going to be interested enough to answer me. So they might be into you, but maybe like something like that arises. Either way, you should ask the question anyway, because asking these questions and having someone kind of give you a one-worded answer or palm you off is kind of a good way of not 100% being like, this person's not into me, but it's a really good way of being able to establish where this person sits and how much of their life they want to share. Okay? So let's just get straight into it. So we've got six questions. The first one is, this is very easy. What do you do for fun? So I've just instantly replaced what do you do for work with what do you do for fun? And when I've done that with people that I've met out, mutual friends, people that I've met, you know, at a bar, someone's introduced me to someone, they're a little bit taken aback because I think that a lot of people expect that I say, what do you do for work? I say, what do you do for fun? And instantly they're like, oh, and their eyes kind of light up and they talk about things that they're genuinely passionate about. And for some people, they talk to me about their work, which is really lovely and cute because I'm like, that's fucking great that you consider work to be one of the things that is fun in your life. But then you got other people that are like, oh my God, so my friends and I, we love to do, and then their eyes light up and they talk about something that really is exciting. And of course, when you say to someone, what do you do for fun? Instantly a side of them comes out that maybe you wouldn't have seen off the bat if you were to ask them what they do for work. They, you know, they're talking about things that they're passionate about. They get excited. They want to share it with you. Their expression changes. Their body language changes. They're opening up. And if you show interest, then it allows this person to, you know, give more, and it creates this kind of vulnerability loop where they're offering information to you. You're receptive to that information. Then they open up more. You're more receptive. And then it kind of flows into this really nice conversation instead of like, I'm an accountant. Nothing wrong with accountants. Definitely need accountants in my life. But if you just answer, oh, I'm an accountant, there's probably not that much maybe that you can delve into about that topic. And so then it's kind of like next question. All right. The second question is, who is your closest relationship and why? That gives such an insight into this person. You instantly learn a lot about them. They could say it's their sibling. Why? Oh, and then they start talking about what this person provides for them in their life, the kind of relationship they have, what kind of closeness they have. Is it one of their parents? Is it a best friend? Like, it's a really, really good way to learn about what makes this person tick, what they value the most in somebody. Because if you say, who's your best friend? Someone answers who their best friend is, explains the friendship and say, why are they your best friend? Then instantly you're going to understand what it is that they value in a relationship. Okay? Like, the reason Liv is my best friend, I mean, I could go on forever as to why she's my best friend, but there's many things about us and how we click and how we understand each other and how we can like preempt each other's needs before needing to ask for all these things that equal to why we are each other's best friends. We don't put unrealistic expectations on each other. We just allow each other to be all these things. And so if I was to share that with somebody that I just met, they would instantly understand what it is that I love about a relationship. Okay. So I think that is a great question to ask someone. Who is your closest person and why? You learn so much about their values, what their needs and wants are in a relationship and how they are being met and how they appreciate that kind of thing. So that's a really great way to learn about that person. And then ideally, they ask the same about you, and then you're able to share those really important things as well. The third one is, what do you think your best assets are as a friend? So like, what do you bring to the table in your friendship groups? And it's good to ask it kind of after that first one, because they've just spoken about who their closest person is and why that is. And then say, well, what do you bring to the table? Like, what do you think, you know, is the best thing that you have to offer as a friend? Then you allow this person to talk about something that they like about themselves, something that they think that they're good at. I think it's really nice to open up the floor to be like, tell me about what you fucking like about yourself, instead of, I don't know, talking about superficial external things. I think relationships that go, and when I say no way, I don't want to be like insulting, but you know, situationships where you're like, we've been seeing each other for fucking 5 months, but it's not progressed. The reason it hasn't progressed is because your conversations are still talking about events and places and things that occurred. You're not talking about thoughts, feelings, debating, you know, beliefs about things. That's where you take the next step in a relationship is when the topic of your conversation deepens. And when I've been in situationships, if I look back now, I thought they were progressing because I wanted it to progress. But one of the key things that wasn't happening was that we weren't talking about deeper things. We weren't sharing insights into our life. We weren't sharing about what we thought we were good at or bad at, or, you know, who we appreciated, what we were grateful for. We weren't talking about that shit. Okay. So these questions really help you kind of sink down into that next level. And if the person's not receptive, then it is a really good insight into, not to bin them, but it's a good insight to be like, I wonder why they're not receptive. Are they just closed off? Am I already getting red flags? And this is just another one to add to the basket of fucking flags that I'm collecting here. What could it mean? The next one, question four, is what is a skill or attribute that you have that not many people know about? This is a fun question. This allows someone to be serious. It allows them to be funny and creative. It allows them to share a quirk about themselves. I really like this question because it can open it up for playfulness within the conversation. Then you can share something quirky about yourself. They could share like the most random fucking skill that they have, and then it's a really great point of conversation. But it also can open again. It can make them feel like it can allow them to be vulnerable and allow them to be like, you know what? I actually think that I'm really good at listening, but a lot of people think I'm just like this loud party animal. And, you know, my main thing is that I'm actually a great listener. And I think that people could confide in me for a lot of things because I'm great at keeping secrets. I've never told a secret, something like that. That would be like, oh, fuck, that's so interesting. And people, you know, so it, whatever it is, but it allows for that. And then also, I want you to think about what would your answers be for these questions as well. Because when someone asks you a question because they're interested in you, it's important to, at the very least, try to come up with an answer. Because what a lot of people do is like, oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. You? You don't want to be like that if possible. Like, if someone's asking you a question because they're interested, unless you're like, get this fucking degenerate away from me, not interested in talking to them, I need to get away, then fine, like palm them off if you're not interested. But if you're having a conversation with someone that you like, try your best to be like, I want to put in the effort to this answer. I don't have to come up with the most brilliant idea ever as an answer, but I want to put in the effort because they've put in the effort coming up with a question because they want to get to know me. It's not always so much about the actual question. It's the intention behind the fact that they're trying to ask you something so that you can open up to them. So think about answers that you would give for these questions as well. So yeah, what is a skill or attribute that not many people know about you? I think is a really good one to know about. It also teaches you about what they wish people knew about them, because if they didn't want people knowing about it, they're not going to tell you about it. But a lot of people are like, oh, I actually have this thing about my personality that I want people to know, and I just don't know how to like get people to know about it, okay? Number five is, what is the best thing you have ever done for yourself? So this gives you insight into how they treat themselves. Do they do things alone? Do they do things with the intent of doing something just for themselves? Do they like adventure? Are they more of a homebody? So if someone ever asked me that question, what is the best thing I've ever done for myself? I mean, there's many things, but I would probably say, you know, buying that ticket to Paris and going there alone, because it was, you know, the catalyst of me learning about myself and healing and this and that. And then that would open up a huge conversation. I could go on about it forever. You guys have probably heard me go on about it forever on this podcast. But that is a really good insight into what someone has done for themselves. And often when someone tells you something big that they've done for themselves, not always, but a lot of the time it's attached to when they're trying to heal from something and when they were trying to make a change in their life. So it gives you a really good insight into how they process things, how they're kind to themselves when they need to be, how they make changes, how they adapt and adjust to things. Okay. So that's, I personally find, a really good question to ask somebody just in general. And then you can also gauge how they treat themselves and like their level of self-love and self-esteem and confidence within themselves. Because if someone's like, oh, I don't know, oh, kind of not, nothing, not really, you know, it gives you an insight like, you know, is this person willing to do these things for themselves? I don't know. Sometimes it's surprising when someone's really, really confident and then you ask them a question like this and then they themselves realize, well, I never actually do something for myself. Maybe I should start doing something for myself. So you give them a little spark for them. You're doing them a favor. And then number six, This is probably my favorite question out of all of them. And it's something that even when I've asked myself this question, like it's made me pause and really, really, really think hard about the answer because it's such an important one to have. So question number six is, if you could have it all, what would that look like? Because it makes you really, really understand, and ask that to yourself as well, but it makes you understand, what do I value the most in my life? Because I think people think, oh, if I could have it all, they would instantly think, oh, unlimited money, unlimited this, unlimited. But then really break it down. What is all for you? What would that look like? What would a life of having everything to make you satisfied, what would that look like? Would it be unlimited time to do whatever you want? Would it be to be able to see the people that you love whenever you wanted to see them? Would it be to be able to do the thing that you love without anything holding you back? What would it look like to you? Because for a lot of people, if they really start thinking about it, they're like, well, it's not all about the money, actually. It's, and then you start delving deeper and deeper into what they care about, what they wish their life could look like if nothing was in their way, okay? So to recap the six questions, we've got, what do you do for fun, number one. Number two, who is your closest relationship and why? Number three, what do you think are your best assets as a friend? Number four, what is a skill or attribute that you have that not many people know about? Number five, what is the best thing you have ever done for yourself? And number six, if you could have it all, what would that look like? So, like I said, this is mainly for dates. You can whip this out on a first date. I'm going to tell you an anecdote in 1 second. You can whip this out on a first date, or you can whip this out if you've been seeing someone, it's been a couple of dates and you're like, I want to make it a little bit more interesting. Let's play this little game. You can say, I listen to a podcast. Like, you don't have to be like, I just came up with these random fucking ideas and I'm just rattling them off to you while we sit on the couch. You can say, I've been listening to this podcast. She's the best. You have to listen to her, and then flick them, you know, text them the link to my podcast immediately while you say that. And then as they start listening to my podcast, then say, and she told me about these questions and I'm going to ask you. But you can also do it with friends. You can do it with friends right now. You might have a friend being like, wow, I actually don't know the answers to those questions that my friend, like, what would my friend actually say to those? Ask your sibling, ask your parents. But the main aim of those questions is to get to know someone better. And anecdote for you guys, I really hope that the listener who sent me this story is actually listening to this episode right now, because I'm going to share your story. She sent me a voice message once. Well, she had actually sent me a DM and I replied to her DM, and then she sent a voice message on Instagram to me. It was the best thing ever. And she was like, oh my God, I'm actually in the bathtub right now and I can't believe you've just sent me this message. So I thought I'd send you a voice message. I want to tell you a story. So she had bought my card game. This was like 2 years ago. A year and a half ago, she buys my card game, and she was in what she thought was probably going to end up to be a situationship. So she was like, kind of don't really know where it's headed. I really like this guy. I really want it to you know, go to the next stage, but I don't know where I stand right now with this person. It's either going to be nothing or it's going to be something, and I just don't know, which I think a lot of people find ourselves in that situationship situation where it's, where the fuck are we? And we gonna. So what I love so much about this woman is that she's like, I'm going to go all out, bite the bullet, and I'm going to play the card game with this guy when he comes over, because he was coming over that night or whatever. So she whips out this card game. There's 150 fucking cards in this card game. I mean, half of the deck is for like your part, like to play with a partner. The other half is to either share information about yourself to other people or just play with yourself, just to answer questions, to have more insight into how your mind works. So she whips out this card game, and she said she played the card game with this guy. He was fully receptive to it. She said by the end of the night, they were in a relationship. I'm like, iconic success story about it. And but she was also like, I was kind of open to anything being the outcome, but I kind of was ready for an answer. So whether it be, let's just take it to the next level, let's be vulnerable, let's open up to each other and learn so much. But it makes you become really vulnerable. And whether you use the card game or not, questions like this that I just gave you as an example, it makes people not just, it's not this route like, oh yeah, I'm going to reply to you. What's your answer to that? It really opens up an entire conversation. You could have an entire night talking and you've only covered two of those questions. It really allows you to talk about anecdotes, to talk about your history, talk about your life, how you think, believe, feel, how you perceive things. It's an incredible way of tapping into how someone's mind and emotions operate. So for her, they played this card game And she was like, I'm just going to put him on the spot and see how we go. And also was forcing her to be vulnerable to him. And that could have gone in any direction at all. But I think the most important thing is that she was like, I'm just going to finally be vulnerable. I'm not going to wait any longer. I'm not going to be like, well, I personally used to be years ago where I would refuse to ask the hard questions because deep down I actually knew the answer. So yeah, by the end of the night, they obviously had gotten enough insight into each other, been vulnerable enough, learned so much about each other that they were dating. And she was so excited. She said that they'd been together for a while by the point she sent this voice message for, you know, a couple of weeks. And she said that she was just like loving life on top of the world. So she sent me that voice message. So if you are listening, I tell that story. I've told that story to all my friends. I've told that story to my family. It's just such a heartwarming story, like such a success story with what good conversation can get you. Cheers for sending me that story in a voice message, no less. I think that if you're wanting to get to know someone, if you're not sure where you stand, this is a good like cue cards for you if you struggle with asking the hard questions, well, quote unquote hard questions, asking questions that involve a longer answer, then this is a really good thing to whip out. Sometimes when you have a crush on someone or when you really like someone, when you want to get to know them, you put them on this pedestal and then you're not yourself when you're around them. I think we've all been there. And this doesn't even have to do with limerence. This is just like, I like this person, but I'm nervous. And so I'm choking up on my words and I'm trying to be funny and I'm not coming across as funny and I'm overthinking everything I say. So this gets you out of your head, and not just these questions, any like deep questions that requires a conversation, it gets you out of your head and it allows for you to listen and then respond organically. It's not this like, I have to impress them. What can I say to impress them? I have to this, I have to that. So if you're someone that chokes and gets nervous and puts people on a pedestal and really struggles to pull them back down to your level, then use something like this to get to know somebody, because the moment somebody opens up, you relax. And when you're relaxed, they open up more, and then you relax even more, then they're relaxed, blah, 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 and that's how you get a flowing conversation. Sometimes you block the ability to really get to know someone, and vice versa, they block the ability to get to know you purely because of nerves. You never got to see the real them. They never got to see the real you. So you think maybe there's no chemistry, maybe there's, but sometimes it's just, we never got off on the right foot. We were never able to just really just delve into some nice, good conversation to get to know each other. Okay. So use these tools, use conversation starter kits, mine or other ones. There's heaps of good ones. Flex Mummy has a great card game as well. There's people out there that have got good conversation card games to help you just really get to know somebody and to share information about yourself without being like, hey, want to know some fucking hectic shit about my life? And then pouring it out onto the table without them asking. So this is just a good way of doing it. Guys, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Hopefully you are using, if you do use these questions, can you send me a fucking voice message on Instagram? Can you actually send it on the DYFM podcast one as well? Because both myself and Shania are across that page. So the likelihood of us seeing it is very, very high. And then also share it on the Facebook page as well, if I haven't already said that. I love hearing your stories and your anecdotes on who you've used it with, how it went down, all of the above. So that is all for today. Thank you for listening. Huge shout out to all my global beans around the world. I'm going to do a special shout out to my New Zealand, I call New Zealand Australia's little cousin. And we're the big cousin. So my little New Zealand cousin beans. I've got so many beans in New Zealand. I really would just actually love to go and do a live show there one day. So fucking let's just make that happen. I need to do a live show in Australia first. But anyway, love you guys so much. As always, remember, be kind to yourself, be kind to your brain. Don't take shit from anyone, and especially don't take shit from yourself. Danke. Listener.